This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by edX. Until now, quality education or even higher education seemed out of reach for many. Well, now there's edX, an online learning destination where you can take fascinating free courses from the world's best universities such as Harvard and MIT. Go to edx.org/WTT to start learning for free today. That's edx.org/WTT. And by audioblocks.com. Stop overpaying for audio media that's underwhelming. Audioblocks is an affordable subscription-based site that gives you unlimited downloads to over 100,000 stock sounds, sound effects, loops, production music, and more. Get your 7-day free trial at audioblocks.com/promo/whatthetech. Hey, everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. It is almost that time.
Which time is that?
Windows time. Oh. Windows 10.
The problem is, 2 days before the Windows 10 launch, I'm going to Europe. And we're swapping homes, so I can't just leave my house. We have to get it ready. So we're in that kind of, week before trip spaz period where everything has to be cleaned and we don't have enough time and we're starting to get upset with each other.
So you're leaving what day? Because does Microsoft know that they're interfering in your vacation time?
So actually, this is part of the post show. This the date thing. So okay. Let's wait on that.
Okay, so we'll wait on that. But you're away.
That's actually a big part of the story. I'm going to reveal this for the first time in the show.
Ooh.
But
I'm very excited for that. A world Theroux exclusive right here.
Don't get too excited. But so we're leaving on the 27th, which is a Monday.
Okay.
We arrive in France, the next day.
So you're leaving. Are we going to be doing a show next week?
If we are, let me see. I think we can, but it would have to be later in the week.
So Thursday.
Probably Thursday.
Okay. So let's figure that out.
Maybe Thursday. Maybe. We'll have to look at it. But okay. Yeah, I think so.
That sounds perfect to me. We're almost there, guys. Windows 10 is right around the corner. A couple more days. Next week. What is it? 9 days away? 8 days away? 8 days.
8 days
away.
Yep. Yeah, 8 days away. 8 or so days.
Yeah.
Depending on when you thought you were getting it.
And I saw the ads. They just put out, I saw the commercial for it, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I got a this lot of mixed up. Reviews about it, mixed understandings of what the commercial is kind of selling. I agree with a lot of the people that are critical, and I also agree with a lot of people that really like the commercial. I want to get to that, but before we do, I want to thank a new sponsor, and I want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, and that's Audioblocks, audioblocks.com. So, if you are in production, if you are a podcaster, an internet broadcaster, I can tell you the biggest problem that I face as a podcaster is that I honestly have to be really careful of what kind of music I put into my show, what kind of audio clips, what kind of sound clips I put into my show. I have we have a show here on the network called The Bald Truth, and the show was syndicated on radio for 15 years. And he did all, he bought all the production, he bought all the audio quality, all the audio samples, everything that he was using for his intro was his. He bought it. It was royalty free and he had someone create it. Well, not according to YouTube, because some of the stuff, there were a couple clips in there that were not royalty free. And they started flagging the videos. I mean, even for the tiniest of things, they'll flag you or you'll probably get into trouble if you start using other people's stuff. Well, here's the thing about audioblocks.com. It's all royalty-free. They have over 100,000 stock sounds, loops, production, music, etc. I mean, it goes on and on what they have. On average, Audioblocks subscribers pay less than $1 per download over a course of a year. You could download as many things as you want over the month. There's no limits. And here's a great, great promotion that they have for us. Audioblocks.com/promo/whatthetech. You get a free 7-day trial. So you just sign up. You could download, and guess what? 7-day trial. You could download whatever you want with there. I'm actually going to start using this for some of our elements that we're putting into here, into our production. By the way, everything is royalty free, even, and it's unrestricted usage for personal and commercial projects. There's a lot of sites out there that will, you know, they'll say for personal usage, absolutely, you could download it. But if you want commercial, you got to pay, you know, $400 or $300. You could use it for both, and you can maintain the usage rights forever, which is great. Audioblocks.com. If you want to try the 7-day promo code, if you want to try the 7-day free trial, go to audioblocks.com/promo/whatthetech. I want to thank audioblocks.com for supporting the What the Tech, and of course for supporting the GFK network. So, Paul,
yes,
let's talk about this commercial. If you were to, I want to ask you this, like, if you just saw this commercial for the first time, right? Like, you don't really know what Windows 10 is, you've never used it, you don't know it, you've never read it. Would you think it's different from Windows 8?
Yeah, I think that's the point of the ad.
You would, okay.
Yeah.
Because when I saw it as they're concentrating on touchscreen.
Okay. You know what, though? Hold on one second. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's step back. First of all, this is one ad.
One ad, yeah.
It doesn't have to encompass everything that you or anyone else thinks should be in an ad about Windows 10, right? So just one thing. But I actually think that the descriptions that they give in very high-level terms about what makes Windows 10 unique are accurate and correct,
okay,
and are the right thing to promote in the first ad. You know, if you step through everything that they say, which I actually do in the post that I wrote about it, so you can just kind of read it,
yeah,
sentence by sentence. You can apply every single one of those sentences to a specific Windows 10 feature and say, yes, actually, that is a differentiator. So I mean, people are like, oh, it's, you know, it's really crappy that they're using children to sell a
cute
product.
No, it's cute.
You know, I think it's cute, and I think it's nice. And I think it hits all of the right, you know, at all the right areas. Like, I think it's really well done.
I mean, they pretty much explain, like, listen, this is different. Like, our kids shouldn't have to worry about, you know, obviously they're going to worry more about security. But their point is, like, this is far more secure and it's easier to use. And it's not the same Windows. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do an MS config and turn off files like Andrew does. It's a very, they're saying, well, this is the future of Windows. This is it. This is it. But it was interesting that they were concentrating so much on the touchscreen aspect when a lot of the complaints about Windows 8 were that it was all, you know, touch centric and not enough desktop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the wrong thing for them to do. I just thought this was interesting that this was their first ad and they were still concentrating on the whole touch aspect of Windows.
Okay. So, but again, the message here is so positive and so proper. These are children. These are kids that are going to grow up in a world where they don't have to remember passwords or obsess about security, where every single screen is meant to be touched and web pages are meant to be scribbled on and shared, etc. This is such an excellent message because that's the world of Windows 10.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry that there was a browser in Windows 7 and you could use touch with Windows 8, or there were security advances in every version of Windows. The point is, they're in a very cute way, they are stepping through all of the high-level main improvements in Windows 10, and I think it's great.
Yeah, you know,
I don't understand why anyone looks at this and says anything other than this is fantastic.
I thought it was a really cute ad. I also think that we're going to probably have the total opposite of an ad. I don't know what ads they've done, but I'm sure there's going to be an ad concentrating on, you know, you can still use desktop, guys, you know? It's here. You could do whatever you were doing prior.
By the way, another key part of their campaign, which we won't see in this ad, but we will see in other ads, is going to be the word familiar. You're going to hear that a lot with Windows 10.
Oh, are you?
Because
okay.
Windows 10 is familiar. That's actually, if you were to choose one word that they're going to use to sell Windows 10, that's the word. You'll see that one a lot.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, right? It's familiar to Windows 8 users and it's familiar to Windows 7
because
users.
And remember, because Windows 8 wasn't, you know. Right?
Well, are they saying it's familiar to 8 users, 8 and 8.1 users only, or are we saying it's also familiar to Windows 7
the
users?
The beauty
guys?
Is it's familiar to everybody.
Yeah.
There are elements that are familiar to people that are coming from Windows 8. There are elements that are familiar from people coming from Windows 7.
Yeah. You also had you had an article on Therat.com, guys. Paul's website. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's called Therat.com. On the Windows 10 upgrade, is it free or is it not? That confusion still exists. I'm very confused on why, and I don't know if you could help me understand why that confusion still
why
exists.
Why anyone would be confused about this?
Yeah.
Humans are hardwired to believe in conspiracy theories, right? There was an excellent article in the New York Times probably 10 years ago about this topic, and it dates back to literally when we were wearing loincloths and running around in the, you know, the tall grass, and you'd think you saw something in the grass. You thought you saw something move, or you saw a pattern that maybe was a tiger or a lion or whatever, and you ran away. And 9 times out of 10, it wasn't anything. In fact, you know, maybe 99 out of 100 times, it wasn't anything. But the people who didn't run away all got eaten by the lion. And the people who are left are the ones that all ran away. So this is bred into us. We're bred in to see things where they are not there. You know, it's the reason we believe in, Sasquatch and the mafia killed JFK or, you know, whatever. Choose your favorite.
The curve bullet.
When Microsoft says, hey, we're going to give away Windows for – well, actually, I should be more clear about this. They're not giving away Windows 10 for free. They're allowing people with existing computers to upgrade to Windows 10 for free. It's slightly different. They're not tossing around copies of the software that you could willy-nilly install and whatever you want.
You don't, like, hit a button and the CD shows up at your house, you know?
No. It's not AOL, you know? But, you know, there was an article in the New York Times that yesterday or maybe Sunday that I thought about sort of writing about because I disagree with some of the conclusions or, you know, just points that they made. And one of them was that it doesn't really cost Microsoft much to give this thing away because most people don't upgrade, you know, that this, you know, is a non-existent market. That's a really narrow view because actually – Microsoft is disadvantaging lots of groups here. They're disadvantaging Intel, which makes the chips that go into new PCs that are not being sold now. They're disadvantaging PC makers, which are not going to sell as many PCs as they would before because, you know, everyone can now upgrade for free. And they're kind of disadvantaging themselves because they're going to have to, you know, support these upgrades. And they're not going to get the revenues from the Windows sales that would have been attached to those new PCs. So why would they do this? It really is to get everyone up on the same level, as many people as possible anyway, because there are other costs that are probably far greater that are hidden from us related to supporting all of these different versions of Windows and all the software versions, file versions, everything.
I don't know if we've discussed this on the show. I'm sure at one point we have, but I don't know the answer. Is this the concept of doing these free upgrades, right? Are we going to start seeing this as, you know, a constant where with the next version they'll say, okay, if you're on Windows 7 – you're kind of S out of luck. You're not getting it, but Windows 8 and 8.1 gets it, you know?
Right. So it's impossible to say how things are going to go in the future, but we can look at what happened in the past to kind of get an idea. And what's happened in the past is that Windows has become more free. It's become lower cost, right? Windows used to be something fairly expensive that you got as part of a new PC purchase typically, or if you were at a business as part of a volume licensing agreement.
And both then a very small group of people would upgrade.
Would upgrade, right? But that's
most would
an upgrade is like a recurring, you know, unusual bill. You know, like most people buy a computer and then use it. Very few people buy a computer and there's a new Windows version. Let me pay $100 for that and go get it. Like I that was not a big market anyway. But anyway, I the conspiracy thing. Just to get back to that, I think the issue is that people hear about this free deal and they think, oh, come on. There's got to be some caveat to this. There's got to be there's a catch, right? The catch might be in the language that they use, you know, for the lifetime of the device. Well, what's the supported lifetime of the device? What does that mean, you know?
And we've done we've gone over this, you know. We've done the conspiracy game on the show.
So a couple of weeks ago, somebody got a hold of, by the way, not an internal Microsoft slide, a public Microsoft slide, and using the text in a footnote on one of two slides that had any content in them at all, made the assertion that this shows that Microsoft expects the average lifetime of a device to be 3 years, meaning that 3-4 years in, maybe they'll start charging us, that they'll wake up to the fact that they can get a subscription fee and see that's how they're going to get you.
That's a little crazy, right?
But it's conspiracy.
Yeah. So what is it? One day you're going to wake up and they're going to have that flash on your screen saying in order to use Windows, you have to subscribe in the next 30 days.
Remember when we said you were going to get it for free? Well, you did get it for free, but now you have to start paying. Like, this is it's it's just not true.
I actually have the slide here if people want to see it.
There's nothing to see on it. I mean, it doesn't prove anything. Unfortunately, the slide, by the way, is related to OEM, meaning PC maker versions of Windows. It has nothing to do with your free upgrade. This has nothing to do with this topic. It's insanity. So anyway, Windows 10 has a 10-year support lifecycle, just like every other single version of Windows ever made since, I don't know, Windows 2000 probably.
Yeah.
And the EULA clearly states, what you get. And what you don't get is a subscription charge at any time during lifetime of support. And you just don't have to worry about it. It's free. It's not, the point of the article, it's not free with air quotes, right? It's just free. You can have it. For the first year, if you have a qualifying PC or device, you get to upgrade to Windows 10 for free. Simple.
So there's an interesting discussion in a chat room happening right now. Evil Dead brings up something and he says, I kind of dislike the fact that if I take the update, I have to spend some money to upgrade to Pro. He dislikes it. It's not a deal breaker, but he would have to upgrade to Pro if he wanted Pro. He wouldn't get Pro if he had Pro, right?
What? What did he start with?
So does the upgrade is what version of Windows?
It's tied to what version you have.
Tied to what version. Right? Okay, so you have Pro, you're getting Pro.
Yeah, if you have a Pro level SKU, right? So, Windows 7, Windows 8 have different versions. And so if you think if you go all the way back to Windows 7, you had Starter Edition, you had Home Basic, you had Home Premium, and I think that's about it. And so if you have any of those, what you're getting is Windows 10 Home.
Okay.
If you had Windows 7 Professional, Windows 7, actually that's it.
You're getting so Pro
version. Or Ultimate, you would get Windows 10 Pro.
Okay, so I totally misread the chat, and I put words in his mouth. I apologize. But this is the thing, right? I mean, I'm even a little confused about this, about how the upgrade is going to work. And this is, I think, ultimately, it's going to work most likely the way you would want it to work. It's not going to be this devastating thing where you're losing out on something. I'm shocked at the level of... There are exceptions to this, right? Like, there are exceptions. Like, I know a lot of people that have home theater, desktops in their home theater, and they're running a media center, and they don't want to upgrade, and they shouldn't have to.
No one has to. I mean,
no, but there's there's some scenarios where I understand not upgrading due to whatever the weird circumstance that fits you. The thing that fascinated me is relatives, people I know. I just got an email from somebody that, is pretty – he knows the show and he watches. He goes, I have no interest in upgrading. He's like, I don't want to upgrade. Windows 7 works fine for me and I have no interest. Why would I go to Windows 10? And that that is an interesting mentality.
So some months ago, I went back and I went back to Windows 8 or Windows 7 or whatever on different machines. And I started using these machines, and I started reacquainting myself with these systems, and just sort of get. Oh yeah, I remember. Okay, right. I remember this. Oh right, remember when we had to do this to get to this? And you kind of forget. Like, they made little incremental improvements in every version. You forget, so you kind of go back and use them, and you think, well, okay. If I was using Windows 7, like what would I, what do I miss like from Windows 10? Because that's one of the key aspects of any upgrade. And, this is the type of thing, this will be in the book that I'm writing. This will be in my review that I'm writing. But I think the important thing to say about Windows 10 is that it is better than the versions of Windows that preceded it, no matter which version you're talking about. Yes, Media Center's not there. I mean, that impacts not very many people, unfortunately, but... they're obviously for certain special interest groups, there are going to be things like that.
Apparently, but, I'll tell you, 90% of all Windows Media Center users are watching the show. Our chat room is filled overwhelmingly with Windows Media Center users. We have that demo. We have that Windows Media Center demo. If you make a premium plugin for this or a premium product for Windows Media Center, guys, you should advertise with us because everybody apparently that watches us uses it. I think that there is that exception, but the mentality, like the people that just use it every day and they don't have any specific software or hardware, Why wouldn't they want to upgrade? Why wouldn't they want the latest and the greatest? That's the interesting thing to me.
Well, okay. First of all, there is the argument that if it's broken, if it's not broken, why fix it? You know, don't fix it.
I don't subscribe to that mentality.
I get that. Well, I know, but normal people can and should, right? I mean, and I don't mean you're not normal. I mean, you know, like non-technical people. I could sit here and lay out like all of the, you know, here's the, you get this, you get this. You know, it's better. You know, there's better security, which there is. There's more features, which there are. There are all these built-in apps, some of which are pretty great, which is true. But you know what? Like if you just you get on, you log into Facebook, you answer some email, you browse the web in Chrome or something, and that's all you do. Who cares? I mean, there's no, you know, the thing I learned a couple months ago is that for the basic stuff, Windows is some kind of a start experience, a taskbar. You run apps. The apps basically run across all three versions of these operating systems, you know, except for the new universal stuff, which I think, you know, maybe over time could become more of an enticement. But, you know, they're all, if you're just a base, if you use Windows for basic things, you know, honestly, what is the difference? I mean, there's no real difference. If you're running, you know, a lot of it has to do with what kind of, I have a phone, by the way. I got a review phone from Microsoft, and it obviously, the SIM has some phone number that many other people previously used.
Uh-huh.
I get phone calls all day long looking for these people. There's three or four of them.
Do you ever just talk to them as if you are the person?
Yeah, I talk, by the way, if I wasn't on the podcast, I'd be talking to them right now. I talk to them every single time because it's insane to me because some of them are the same people. I'm like, look, he's never going to be here. I don't know why you keep calling.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. The phone just rang.
I have the same problem with my home phone number. It's associated to the Board of Ed. There's like a phone number for the Board of Ed where teachers could call to call out, and it's like one digit off. So I'll constantly get like, listen, this is so and so. I'm not going to be able to come in. I'm just reporting my absence, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. You got the wrong guy. So I understand where your pain has come from, but go ahead, Paul.
No, I mean I. It depends, you know. I think the older the hardware, the less it makes sense to upgrade, you know. It's true with every version of Windows that you get the best experience with a new computer.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's kind of a limited set of circumstances where that's true, unless you're coming from a Windows 7 non-touch-based PC, in which case, you know, my God, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in the interim that you're maybe just not aware of, two-in-ones and all that kind of stuff. But the two big ones, which I think we've talked about before, are Continuum,
sure,
which is a very interesting thing for two-in-one computers, and transforming computers. I mean, two-in-one suggests kind of like, you know, the screen breaks off from the keyboard. It's not always like that. Sometimes the screen just pops around over the back of it. Surface-type devices and so forth. And the other one is Windows Hello, which supports biometric styles of logging in, where you don't have to remember complex passwords or even do something like type in a PIN. If you have a Windows Hello compatible camera, you can sit down in front of your computer. If it's a laptop, just open it up and you're signed in because you're you.
Yeah.
It just happens. It's instantaneous. It's amazing how quickly it works.
And that's the benefit of purchasing a new PC. You know, right before you said, well, it may hurt PC makers because people aren't going to go and buy a new computer because it has the latest version. But it's features in the operating system that will drive people to go buy it. I'm not saying Windows Hello is enough of a feature for people to run like crazy to the store and start buying it, but with more features implemented that are, you know, exclusive to hardware and software together, it'll be a driving force. You know, like for Apple, their trackpad, for example, they're implementing this different type of clicking. Things like that will drive people to go buy new
Maybe.
Hardware.
Yeah. I mean, and for a lot of people, it won't necessarily drive them to go buy something new right now. But the next time that those people upgrade, whether it's a Mac or a PC, then you have that range of choices that just didn't exist 3, 4, or 5 years ago, whatever it was. So, again, you know, Windows 7, I mean, you know, should you upgrade? I don't, maybe not. Maybe, depending on the age of the computer, you should consider getting a new computer. If it's a laptop, maybe you should consider at least a touch-based laptop or a transforming laptop where the screen flips around the back or an actual 2-in-1 like a Surface where you can unclick the keyboard and use it as a tablet or use it as a laptop. You know, there's all this new stuff.
So
and,
for me,
I think there's some interest.
No, there is. Stuff. And you brought up something interesting. You said if you have an older piece of hardware, laptop or desktop, maybe you shouldn't upgrade. I know that they've put out, you know, their specs on recommended, you know, components this, but we all know that's the bare minimum sometimes, and it's never going to run so great. So I have a couple older laptops here. They're dual core Intel based laptops. I have a T60 in a ThinkPad T60, for example, that I was considering putting Windows 10 on there. I'm going to put an SSD, I'll upgrade the RAM, and I'll put Windows 10. How different will my experience be on a machine like that compared to, you know, a newer mid-range computer? That's where I'm really curious to test this out, really. And that's why I'm waiting for some of these newer newer Windows 10 based computers to come out, because I would like to compare, you know, overwhelmingly, is there going to be a big difference if I'm putting this on an old, you know, 4-year-old laptop?
I mean, it's hard to measure these things. So, for example, let's say you have like a they don't call them netbooks anymore, but you have like an HP Stream 11, right? It's kind of a low end thing. It's an 11-inch screen. I don't remember if it's 1 or 2 gigs of RAM and probably 32 gigs of storage. It's, you know, low end. Doesn't even have touch, right? Should you upgrade that computer to Windows 10? I mean, all things being equal, if you took a version of that laptop with Windows 8.1 and a version of that laptop with Windows 10, I could make the argument that the Windows 10 version is better. It won't run any slower. It doesn't take up any more space. The start menu style UI makes more sense for a non-touch device like that than Windows 8.1 did. The problem is that's not how you're going to get there, right? You have Windows 8.1 on this device, and you're going to upgrade it to Windows 10. Mm-hmm. So is it better to do that? It's like, it's hard to say. I mean, the upgrade itself could screw things up in some way. It could take up more disk space. It might just slow things down. You might be better off doing a clean install, but most people aren't really capable of doing that. So it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to compare these things for everybody. I found, you know, in my, especially with mini tablets, which I wrote about today, but this also applies to any Windows device, including those Stream tablet or laptops and other small laptops that Microsoft and its partners were selling over the past year. The lower end it is, you know, upgrading isn't great, you know. And it's not because Windows 10 is big and heavy and awful. It's just those machines were never really a good deal to begin with. They didn't have enough storage, so you got to buy a micro SD. If it's a tablet, you need to get like a on-the-go type USB cable to convert from the, you know, micro USB to standard USB, and you might need a powered USB hub to plug in keyboards and stuff, which you might need because touch stops working during a, you know, setup or whatever. I mean, there's all this stuff that kind of happens. You know, it depends. I again, people who listen to this, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
People who know what they're doing are going to be fine. People who are normal people, you don't throw them under a car and say, "Don't you can change the oil, go for it." You know,
I don't know. You know, I'm at the point where which machines do I upgrade? Obviously, I'm not doing it to my production machines right now because I'm going to wait a little bit to do that, to see if the software and the hardware that we use here is going to work. But you know, I have a bunch of laptops here, and they're a couple of years old, and I would love to put it on there. I would also like to do a dual boot on my Mac. Have you done that?
Yeah. Yes. I've done two ways on the Mac. I've dual booted and I've I'm trying to remember. I must be Parallels. I'm using Parallels, you know, which has a mode that's called something like Continuum that lets you kind of run Windows apps, you know, alongside Mac apps and all that kind of stuff. It's the same as Windows 8 or Windows 7. Same experience.
It's not the best.
Well, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people claim it's like the best, you know, like the best possible combination, and it really isn't. But it's fine. It works fine. You know, it's there if you want it.
Yeah. I don't know what to do, Paul. What do you think I should do? Should I upgrade these lower end machines?
I wouldn't with the lower end ones. You know, especially if they're just working, you know, if they're fine.
Yeah.
There's no reason to. I mean, I think we get carried away as enthusiasts. We want to, you know, and I've got a table full of laptops sitting out there that I've been going through. I've got a bunch of mini tablets sitting here. I've got more stuff in the closet behind me, which is probably open because I've been working. Sorry about that. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't recommend it to others, you know.
I may try one. I'm not going to try anything without an SSD. I have one that has an SSD in there, and I may try that one. But, I mean, technically, shouldn't it perform better than Windows 7? If I have Windows 7 on these machines, and I upgrade the SSD, I put a new SSD in there or whatever, shouldn't it perform better because Windows gets better performance as, you know, a new version comes out? It's 10%, I guess, right? That's the number that they always throw, 10% better. Which they don't really talk about it much because that's not a big boost, but 10% from Windows 7 to...
I don't think that's the issue. I think the better way to look at it is the basic hardware requirements haven't changed. And I think that's more important. So on the same hardware, I haven't and I won't do benchmark tests, but I would just say real world anecdotal evidence, it performs similarly.
Yeah. Interesting. We have so much to talk about. It feels like you know, it's a lot of Windows, and obviously it is, because guess what? It's around the corner, and it's time to kind of talk about this and to kind of upgrade. I want to talk about the Wave 2 update, Threshold Wave 2, Paul. I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's interesting the purpose that this update is going to serve. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get your point of view on that. But before we do that, I want to talk about another sponsor to the GFK Network and What the Tech, and that's edX. If you're looking to learn something new, or if you're looking to expand what you already know, check out edX, edx.org/WTT. It's an online learning destination that you could take many, many different courses from the best universities in the world, Harvard, MIT, just to name a few, Caltech. And it's not just technology stuff. You know, last week when we spoke about some of the courses, I said I want to take an HTML5 class. I want to understand how this works. I want to learn about it a little bit. They also have other classes like English grammar and style, Chinese, basic Mandarin, user innovation, the path to entrepreneurship. So the list goes on and on. They cover everything here, and you get started for free. You can learn for free. So I was looking here. I think it was the English grammar class, for example. Let's go there. And so it's from the University of Queensland in Australia. So if you're Australian and you want to take this, you go right ahead. They have it from all over the world. The course is free, but if you want to get certified, guess what? $100. Not bad. The prerequisite, you could take a prerequisite class also if you wanted. So there's a lot of options here, a lot of different choices in a whole different genre. I mean, you got everything you could imagine here. And why not? You got free classes. You want to learn something new? Go right ahead. Check them out, edx.org/WTT. Go there, sign up, learn something for free. I want to learn something. Paul, you want to learn something? Why not, right?
No, I'm done.
You're done learning. Paul is done. He has taken as much as he can learn.
There's nothing to learn.
Yeah, data structure. I mean, it's crazy how many, and it's for everybody all over the world. It's not just for, you know, the States. It's you could take classes everywhere, so it's awesome. edx.org/WTT. Go check them out. I want to thank them for supporting What the Tech, and of course, for supporting the GFQ Network. We did the live read, and last week I got a message from someone saying that he's been taking classes with them for a while now, and he loves it. So that's what we like to hear. We like to hear that they're good and you like them. You know, it's always a positive when you talk about a company and people like it. Let's talk about Threshold Wave 2, Paul. What can you tell us about this?
Actually, so this was the thing I was getting. It's not for the episode, it's for this.
Okay.
I have been writing and just published the first part of a series of articles that I'm calling Road to Gold, which is about, you know, the development of Windows 10, how it kind of occurred publicly. Because back in the early days, this was like Windows 8.2. It was called Threshold. It was going to be Windows 9. And then, of course, eventually became Windows 10, and a really big part of a new strategy around One Windows, where it's going to run on Windows and phone and Xbox, and then later we learned on other things.
Yeah.
So in researching this stuff, because I keep incredible archives of everything, I was reminded that we had original expectations around when this thing was going to ship, because, you know, Mary Jo and myself primarily, because we were the source of a lot of this information.
For Threshold or Threshold 2, Wave 2?
Threshold.
Okay.
This Threshold, right? Yeah. So Threshold is a wave, right? Just like Blue was a wave. Mm-hmm. So with Blue was all of the post-Windows 8 stuff. So it was Windows 8.1, it was Windows 8.1 Update 1, and it was Windows Update 1, sorry, Windows 8.1 Update 2.
Update 2,
that was the Blue wave. Threshold is also a wave. We sort of forget this. Like, we think of Threshold, you know, Windows 10 as Windows 10, but Threshold is a wave, and there will be different releases of Threshold as well. And we knew that a year and a half ago, a long time ago. We just kind of forget about it because we've been so immersed in Windows 10 lately. The original release date for Windows 10 was going to be, actually it wasn't Windows 10 then, but for this product, was going to be April 2015, right? A couple months ago. And that was based, that goes back 18 months or so. They weren't going to start developing the product until April 2014. It was going to be a one-year deal. It was going to be a Windows 8.2 style thing that they were going to call Windows 9. You know, they were going to kind of slightly promote it.
And we were a little, you were a little skeptical about that date.
Yeah. But you know what happened, of course, is like some of the information you get is mixed, and so over time you become aware that Windows 10, as we think of it now, is a much bigger release than what they were talking about originally, and you're thinking there's no way they're going to hit this April date. And so in order to accommodate the much bigger designs that they had on Windows 10, they moved the release date forward to October 2015. That was so this in the time frame that Windows 10 was called Windows 10. The original release date for this thing was October 2015.
Okay.
It has been for some time. In fact, when I booked this trip in, for August, which I do every summer, I did that knowing that Windows 10 would ship in October. Did I say August earlier? I'm sorry.
You said August.
Did I say August?
Yeah.
I meant October. I knew that it would ship in October and that I would have plenty of time, that this trip wouldn't get in the way of anything. Sorry. If I said August earlier, I did mean October. So it was October for a long, long time. And it wasn't until it was pretty recently, a couple months ago, that we caught wind of, this thing's coming in July. You know, and we had the AMD executive came out and said July. And I remember, I remember Mary Jo and I were talking during the middle of this. And she said, my sources are actually saying July. Like, this has changed. Like, why would they move this thing up? And of course, then they announced July, and we were all like, geez, they're never going to do this. How did they do this? But see, the way that they do it is, and I can tell you why they did it too, by the way, is because of the nature of Windows 10, that it is Windows as a service. It's just this thing that will constantly be evolving. What they intended to ship in October is what they will ship in October. Originally, that was going to be threshold one. It was going to be Windows 10.
Yeah.
But by bumping it up back to July, what they did was shaved off some stuff so they could artificially make this date. And the reason they wanted to do that was for back to school. It was something Windows hasn't done in a decade, two decades ever. I don't know. It's been a long, long time.
And that was the biggest battle that they were facing is back to school. And they're kind of getting back to school, right? They're early August. Computers won't ship till, I guess, late August. So you're kind of getting back to school. You know, you got a couple week window there.
Well, I mean, a lot of times what you have is like parents will take the kids up to school, or maybe if it's high school, they don't go anywhere or whatever, or younger kids. But they buy a lot of stuff in the month before school starts. You know, sometimes if your kid is going to school in some other state, you might take them out there and go to the local IKEA and get them a desk and a bed. And you might go to Best Buy and buy them a computer.
Yeah.
You do all that stuff there. And Dell explicitly on the record told me this. Another PC maker I can't name, they told me off the record, both told me the same thing, which is this. Microsoft changed that date not because PC makers asked for it. They just changed the date and told PC makers this is what was happening. It was a surprise. So this is something Microsoft decided. They didn't do this on behalf of PC makers. But I think someone must have realized if we can give them this bone, then it might help PC sales. Because remember, because they're giving away the free upgrade, it's going to be a problem for PC sales. Maybe this will overcome a little bit of that. And I think that was the thinking behind it. So threshold two, there was always going to be a threshold two. There, three, four, there were going to be
multiple
milestones.
Yeah.
And on whatever schedule. But threshold two, that thing we're going to get in October, that thing where maybe they launch Surface Pro 4 at the same time, that thing where it will be what ships on HoloLens, that thing where that will be what they ship on Xbox One too, by the way. That was Windows 10, right? I mean, that was the original vision for what they ship in October. That was Windows 10.
Okay. So, because, I was reading about it and they're saying, well, it's going to be more optimization of the OS, and it's going to be stability, stabilizing the OS.
Yeah, about the Neowin thing. So
that's not true.
There's more.
Okay. Yeah. It is interesting that so are you saying like this is like a half-ass version of it? They're like, okay, we got to cut everything. Let's get this out, and then we'll put out what we want in October.
The other thing I was reminded of is about a year ago, in fact, exactly a year ago, Microsoft had said we are going to deliver a start menu and floating windows for apps in a coming update to Windows 8.1. They never said what that update was called. And they said it vaguely on purpose, which I later confirmed with them, because they weren't sure at the time how they were going to do it. in keeping with their current kind of strategy of rapid release, that what they the Windows team really wanted to do was deliver the start menu in Windows 8.1 Update 2, which was coming out that August.
Yeah.
The reason they wanted to do that was to show the world that they could be fast, that they could listen to what people wanted and they could deliver on it. They really wanted to do that. But then, you know, the plans for Threshold kind of evolved. It became a much, much bigger thing. And they realized it needs to be part of Windows 10, because if it's not, it will take away from all of the excitement around Windows 10 and, you know, what a big deal it is. And they want that big bang kind of release. So, you know, things changed. But, you know, as of this time last year, I mean, Microsoft wasn't sure how they were going to deliver that one feature, because that was the one, the start menu was the one where they said, you know, we could do this. Like, we could do this really quick. We could add it to Windows 8.1.
And that's what they were kind of thinking they would do.
They were literally, that was the original.
And aren't they doing that with Windows RT?
Well, that's the story. No one has ever told me that, but that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I mean, and you know, when you think about how they would have added it to the OS, I'm sure adding it to Windows RT is, you know, not necessarily a hard thing to do. But you know, as far as it being half-assed, I mean, I guess the only thing I'd say is, you know, we're moving into a plan where Windows is updated regularly over time, just
it's
like
constantly
Office
365. Changing. Yeah.
So you could say, I don't remember the date, but you know, January 2013, Microsoft ships Office 365 Home Premium at the time, or whatever it was called. 6 months later, it's been updated a couple times. A year later, it's been updated a couple times. So when it's January 2014, do you look back on that first release and say, oh, did they kind of half-ass it?
Yeah.
You know, not really. I mean, it's a fully functioning thing. It's a great upgrade, but there are things that aren't in there. There's we learned about one, you know, a particular one this week, or last week, I guess, the microSD, the ability to install apps to microSD. It's available today in Windows Phone 8.1. It will be available in Windows 10. It is available in Windows 10 Mobile, but it's not going to be in the initial release of Windows 10. It's something that's going to come in the fall probably and Threshold too. Why? I don't know. It needed more time.
But
it would have been
in
Windows 10 originally,
thing.
Though.
Apple did the same thing with their Photos app, right? That was a big point of Yosemite, was that Photos app. Look, no more iLife, no more iPhotos. It's the new Photos app. Look at what you could do. And they showed how great this thing is, and they did not ship it with the operating system. And they waited a couple months, and it was an update, and with that update came that feature. So this is the new way to, you know, it's not the old Windows where this is what it is and these are the features
getting. We'll see, right? I mean, so I will say that when someone raised an interesting issue, and I don't remember where this was. It was either email or maybe in a comments to one of my articles. But someone said, so Windows 10 has a 10-year life cycle. What happens after 10 years? You know, I mean, and generally speaking, you know, we would hear about this years down the road. Like when, you know, how many years into Windows 7 do we hear about Windows 8? How many years into Windows 8 do we hear about Windows 10?
2 years? Year and a half?
Yeah, it'll be some year. We don't have to worry about that yet. But I mean, I think it's more likely that they start tying. So, you know, the reason they talked about lifetime of the device is I think going forward, if they just keep Windows 10 as the thing, they have to have some kind of a 10-year life cycle of support for devices. And so it's almost like a stay fresh date on a PC. Like if you buy a PC in September 2015, Windows is supported on that device until September 2025.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just support 10-year-old hardware forever. You know, at some point they have to cut it off. And I think that's why they started using that language.
Have you used the Xbox handoff thing to the PC where you can play your game? How is it working?
It's fine. I mean, the only problem with it is you can't do anything else on the Xbox. When they first announced it, I sort of assumed the point was, your Xbox is out in the living room. The kids want to watch Netflix. You want to play video games. They can watch Netflix. You can go in your office, plug in an Xbox controller, and play a game.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You can only do one thing at a time. So I guess in this scenario, the kids would be watching TV, not through the Xbox.
Not through the Xbox. Okay.
And you'd be remoting your Xbox into your office. It's easy here because these things are right next to each other.
How is it with the latency and...
I've only just looked at it one time. I popped in Call of Duty. I hopped around in a level. It seemed perfectly fine. I mean, right now, these devices are both hardwired. That may be a little unusual, for most people. Setup. But it seems fine. It seems great. It won't work if you don't have you actually have to have the controller plugged in. I think sometime in the future, they're going to have that wireless adapter where you can actually use the Xbox wireless controller wirelessly, but right now you have to plug it in.
Oh, so it doesn't work via Bluetooth?
Yeah, or whatever.
So even if you have Bluetooth enabled on the PC?
Yeah, it has to have a USB cable.
Okay. Like I have a PC here that has Bluetooth. You know, most laptops now have Bluetooth on it, but okay, yeah. That's interesting. Yep. I mean, it's a baby step. I think it's awesome that you could do that if you need to.
It's interesting. I think it open. You know, they've done a lot of work on remoting displays of their products. Right, Windows Phone can blast its display up onto a TV. You can watch a movie from your phone if you want to, which is goofy, yeah. But maybe you want to. Surface Hub can take a display from a Miracast type PC, put it in a window, and then let you interact with the computer through the window. So it's two way. That's kind of crazy. And then this thing sort of hints at the future of this, which is let the Xbox do other things while you're doing this, but also, not a huge scenario, but what if you want to cast games to the Xbox for some reason, from your PC or whatever? Maybe you could use your PC to hold all your games.
Yeah. So I want to move away from Microsoft a little bit, and I want to talk about this article that Wired.com put out other day. Did you see the whole thing about the Jeep? I put in the show notes here. So...
No, I wasn't aware of this.
As cars get smarter, right? Like Paul and I always talk about, it kind of sucks that, I'm buying a new car and none of the latest things that are going to be coming out will be in this year's model. It's going to be on the next year model, like CarPlay and what is it, Android Auto, whatever it is. Yep. So I'm in this weird limbo period with none of these, these cars aren't as smart as I would hope they are. And this article kind of shows that maybe you don't want your car to be as smart. Maybe you want your car to be a little dumb because these two hackers have been working on this for months now, and they have figured out a way to remotely control a 2014 Jeep Cherokee, where to the point that they could shut the engine off, they could control the steering, they could control the brakes, the windshield wipers, everything you could imagine they could control in this car. This is terrifying in a way,
right?
That this is a possibility, that this could possibly happen. The odds of this happening are very slim. But
talk about
conspiracy theories. There's a.
No, this isn't a conspiracy theory. I mean, this is based on experience. hackers hack everything. I mean, why wouldn't you think they could?
They don't even have to be around. It's just because these cars now have Wi-Fi, right? You could connect your smart car, your smart navigation to the internet with 4G or 3G. And once you're on the internet, people could potentially grab control. I mean, your steering, your transmission, your brakes, and the laptop doesn't even have to, it could be across the country. It doesn't even have to be anywhere near you. The person doesn't have to be driving along with you. This is a terrifying, terrifying exploit. The two guys that did this, are going to be presenting some of the code and how they did it at the Black Hat conference coming up.
Probably going to find out the Jeep uses COBOL.
Well, it's using QNX, I believe.
Okay, well, no, of course it is. Yeah. I think it's using car systems.
Yeah, I think it's using QNX as the core. But do you think over the next 10 years, is this going to be a huge concern for us?
Yes.
How do you fight this?
So I don't know. If you think about futuristic movies, it could be slightly futuristic, like a Mission Impossible movie, or it could be like dystopian futuristic. You notice that the hero always drives like a 70s muscle car.
Always.
Right. It's always like the most low tech, high output kind of vehicle. Right. It technically is never going to be as fast as any modern car with a tiny engine and a turbocharger or whatever. But whatever. So, I was just joking with something. I bought the car from my dad this year. It's a 2007 Mercedes. It has zero technology in it. I think the most advanced piece of technology in it is a DVD changer. Possibly. There's nothing. There's no Bluetooth. There's no USB port. There's no nothing. I didn't buy it to make a point about technology, but I did it acknowledging that the truth is, for the amount that I drive, I don't really need technology. It's not a big deal. That said, I completely understand why people want technology in their car. If I commuted to work every day, this would be a key part of my purchase. But I think that security is going to we need a trustworthy computing type initiative to occur with cars, just like we did with Windows. Like All of the systems that we use, if we're going to bank online, if we're going to drive electronic cars or driverless cars, if we're going to get in, you know, any conveyance that is controlled by computers, I mean, we're going to have to figure that out. And I think that we will, but I think that hacking is always going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's. I could already see, you know, some, you know, attempts on politicians or, you know, like the, it's a scary concept where you're just driving your car. Yep. I mean, you're just.
Yeah, in the old days, you'd cut the brake line.
You cut the brake line. You know, that's how
now
you did
can
it.
From home, you get the nerdy guy. You know.
This is a terrifying concept. Chrysler is already working on a fix for this. They've informed Chrysler of this issue. It's with their Uconnect systems. Which is, I guess, Chrysler's whatever.
How Chrysler does
And it's actually really nice. Actually, one of the out of the stock navigations and the stock, you know, entertainment systems in these cars, it was one of the better ones that I was playing around with. It was very fast and you know, responsive. But maybe we don't want our cars connected to the internet. You know, maybe we don't want that.
I think it's inevitable. So I think the better question is going to be, how do we fix this? You know, because it's inevitable, right?
Yeah.
There's no way we don't scale back from this. It just gets worse. So we need to figure that out.
Yeah. I thought this was an interesting article that they posted. I think it's a little reckless because the guy was driving on the highway 70 miles an hour and they turned off his engine.
Well, okay. So there's the guy who hacked into the planes while on a plane.
Yeah.
Right? Apparently, I mean, you know, we don't know how true this is, but he said that he delivered commands to the plane and it turned on his command. And that kind of stuff is, that's just scary.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm surprised that Wire didn't get into trouble for doing this test. You know, because they were working with the guys in doing this. And he shows, you know, he has a camera there and he's on the highway. He's like, yep, my car is, I'm hitting the gas. There's nothing happening.
Sure.
You know, you're going 70 miles an hour, and there's a truck behind you, a U-Haul truck. It's maybe in some trouble. So I thought this was interesting. I'll post a link in the chat room for people watching live if they want to take a look at this and read the article. I'm all into car tech, and but now I'm starting to think, well, maybe you know what? Maybe you don't want all this.
You can't let this get in the way. I mean,
I'm terrified. I'm going to like a 76 DeVille. I just want a giant boat.
Yeah, sure. No, you got to get like a Dodge Charger Camaro.
Well, they all have this, right? They're all going to have these. Even those Camaros, the new Camaros, the new Chargers.
No, I mean an old one. You got a 79 Camaro or
something.
That's
what my father had. He had a 79 SS.
Sure.
Yeah. It gave like 6 miles a gallon.
Yep.
That's what we need.
You know what? It was never hacked, and it never will be.
It never will be. All right, Paul, time to wrap it up. Hey, guys, if you're watching live, stay tuned. We're going to do What the Talk, and we're going to continue our series of throwbacks to tech. And Paul has a good one this week. If you are not watching live, you could watch it. It's exclusively on Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. You could sign up there and give us a couple pennies, and you can get access to our archives, our bonus material that we record each and every week. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. If you miss any portion of the show, of course, you can catch us. We're archived on the website. We're archived on therot.com. We're also everywhere podcasts are available. We have multiple versions of the show. You can subscribe to all of them. I encourage you guys, subscribe to all of them. You could download it on the go. Paul, anything coming up? Anything big? You're going to France next week?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing coming up. I hopefully in the next days, I don't know, maybe after the weekend, I'll put out the first early version of the book, which will be incomplete, but should be it's 175 pages or so right now. It should be at least 200 and something. There's a lot of stuff in there I can't write about yet because it's not out public and it's not really clear how some stuff's going to work. But there's a lot of stuff I can't write about, so we'll have something there. So that should be soon.
And next week we'll be on 2 p.m. East on Thursday.
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll shoot for that.
We'll see, because Paul's away, guys.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next week. Let me see what it looks like when I get out there. And
sounds good. All right, guys. That's it for this week. If you're watching live, stay tuned. More content coming up. We're going to be talking about Threshold. Stay tuned. We'll see you all next week, guys. Take care.